Good morning. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Well, so thankful to be here. Thank you, Brother Kyle, Jody, and so good to be with so many of you precious saints. This is really a conference that I would have to be biased and say I've enjoyed so much. And really not so much that I would preach, but just to see you, see your faces, and to fellowship with you. And to be fed like we just were. I appreciate that so much, Brother Curtis. But I would have you to go. Subject today will be, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And as a preface to that, I would like to read Mark 1:35, start there, and a few individual passages of Scripture. If there's anything that should be true of every one of you that are begotten of God unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, is that you pray. And you pray often. You pray continually. The Lord Jesus Christ, it is said in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke chapter 19 and verse 18 says, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Verse 28 of the same chapter, and it came to pass, and in about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Luke 11:1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And then finally, Luke 22:39, we know his cries of Gethsemane. And he came up and went as he was wont, as his custom was, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. If the Lord Jesus Christ prayed so often, brethren, how needful it is for us to pray. Luke 18 is our text, if you'll go there. Luke 18, we'll read the first 8 verses. Passage says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is the reason that he spake this parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, to not lose heart, to not become discouraged in prayer. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord Jesus taught his disciples this parable to the end that they would pray always and not to faint. Even in the beginning of the parable, the Lord is teaching us that prayer is not to be a now and then thing. But it is to be a lifelong, intimate relationship that every one of us, as children of God, should have with our Heavenly Father. Every one of you, brethren, in Christ, myself included, should have a place of intimacy where we resort to often to pray unto our Heavenly Father. We ought to have a place like that. Our Father ought to know that here comes my son, here comes my daughter. They're always here. I've been expecting you. Before we were saved, we were enemies of God, haters of God. We had no communion with God. But when God saved us from our sins and reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, brethren, we were united to Christ, brought into an intimate union with God, and lovingly adopted into His family. And beloved, union with God should beget communion with God. How can it be that I am united to God by faith? How can it be that I am born again, made a partaker of the divine nature, and yet I never commune with God? And I never pray. It should not be so. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God," the right or the privilege to become the sons of God, "even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." The God who was our enemy is now our Heavenly Father. If God is your Father and you are His child, you should have, or you do, rather, have the privilege of continual access to Him. You are His child. There's never a time when the throne of grace is closed to your prayers. The psalmist says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Do I do that? "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber." There's never a time when God is slumbering. He's not accessible. He's always accessible. "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, even from this time forth, even forevermore." Long has that been one of the most comforting psalms to me. My Lord never slumbers or never sleeps. Brother Casey said last night he woke up at 4:30 in the morning. Does God wake you up in the morning and call you to His throne of grace? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying to your Heavenly Father is one of the most important things that you ought, as Christ said, men ought to pray. He wasn't making a suggestion. Men ought always to pray each day. It's, if not the most important thing that you should partake of as a child of God, apart from your devotions to Christ and the Holy Scriptures. Prayer must not be a mechanical religious exercise. It must not be something where you just utter the right words in diligent simplicity or empty diligence, may I say. It must not be where we utter right theological words, but you are to seek by faith the presence and an audience with the living God. Yes, there's a right way to pray and a right theology for prayer, but that'll do you no good unless you're a man or a woman of prayer. See, you can know all about prayer, but do you pray? We read that when Hannah was in bitterness of soul, that she poured out her soul before the Lord. Psalm 25:1 says, "Lord, unto thee lift I up my soul." See, prayer is the soul's language of the regenerate man or woman. If you're newborn in Christ, then you have the Spirit of God. You have a new nature. There's the best part of you now that communes with God, communes with the living God. We ought always to pray. Psalm 143 and verse 7 and 8. Psalm 143 verses 7 and 8 says this: "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Prayer is a pouring out of your soul before the Lord, but also it is a lifting up of your soul to the Lord. Prayer, again, is the language of the new man It is how you commune with God. Listen, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Prayer is the language by which you communicate Him with Him from your soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Back to the parable in Luke chapter 18. Brethren, you ought always to pray and not to faint. Or as it means, don't lose heart. Don't become weary and stop praying. Again, just in the opening words, men ought always to pray, teaches us that we ought to always pray. It shouldn't be something that we just do now and then. It shouldn't be something that we just do in the corporate assembly. This should not be the only time you pray. Really, the most important time of your prayer should be in your secret place. You should have that place. But listen, how often do we stop praying or become discouraged because we simply don't believe God will move? Or because God did not answer my prayer after I asked Him once or twice? We know the parable. The widow woman was being oppressed by someone. She was all alone. She had no husband. She needed someone to take up her case. So she went to where she should go, to the magistrate, to the judge of the city. We are told that this judge was a wicked man. He did not fear God, but also he could care less about taking up anyone's case or anyone's cause. And even though he showed her the door day after day and he shouted her out of his courtroom, she kept coming. She kept coming back to him. He didn't have any regard for her. But she also didn't regard his continual rejection of her and her case. Avenge me of my adversary, said this widow woman, was her continual and daily cry. Take up my cause, take up my case. Please, I have no husband. He died, I am all alone. I need someone to take up my case. Please help me. She would make her plea continually. She would be openly rejected. I have no husband. But then she would come back and she would encourage herself and come back again and again and again and again. Verse 4 tells us that he would not take up her case for a while. But afterward, after he couldn't take it any longer and after the continual coming, she wearied him. He said within himself, now, this is very uncharacteristic of me. This is not like me at all. I've had enough of this woman. Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Literally means she's wearing me out. I can't take this anymore. And the Lord says unto us, hear what the unjust judge saith. Learn about your Heavenly Father and what it means to always be praying and not fainting or losing heart or becoming discouraged in prayer from this wicked woman. From this wicked and unjust judge, and also from this poor, oppressed widow woman. The wicked judge rejected the woman's pleas for justice. But your Heavenly Father will never reject or close up heaven to your prayers or your pleas or your cries to Him for help. You are His precious elect children. You are adopted into His family. Shouldn't we as children of God always be first inclined to pray? Shouldn't we always be taking our case to our Heavenly Father? How often are we full of concern or worry or fear when we're in a situation or something very difficult happens in our lives, but you only go to your friend or your confidant or even to the preacher and you tell them all about your problems, but you didn't take your distress, you didn't take your case to the Lord? How often do we take our case to everyone else, but we didn't take it to the Lord? You didn't pray. We ought always to pray and not to lose heart and faint and cease to pray. And when we have prayed, we must not become discouraged when our Father in heaven has not answered our request the first time we asked Him, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the 20th, or the 40th, or the 50th time. In fact, there should probably be things that you have been asking God for years. And you should still be asking your Father for those things. You should know and believe that God has heard your cries. I know that every believer that's here, you have a case, you have a cause, you have things that God has given you to pray about. Take up my case. You should go to the throne of grace. Save my lost children, Father. They have heard thy gospel. They have rejected thy truth. Save them, O Heavenly Father. Save them from their sins. Save them from your wrath. We ought to always be bringing our causes, our case to our Lord. For us as pastors, a burden of my heart has been to pray for my church. And I believe, pastors, we should pray for our church. There should be things that we continually pray for our assemblies, for the people that come to our assemblies. Look at Ephesians. I'll just share with you a couple of instances from the Apostle Paul and what he prayed for the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Ephesians 1:16. In verse 15 we start, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints," Paul says, "I cease not to give thanks for you." And he says, "making mention of you in my prayers." I cease not to pray for you. And here was his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that our people might know the Lord. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Brethren, that's a worthy prayer for your assemblies. It's a worthy prayer for our people in our churches. Turn over to Ephesians 3 and verse 12. Ephesians 3:12. Just two places. Should this not be one of our continual cries for our people? Don't you yearn that your people would know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would know the love of Christ, that they would be enlightened, their understanding would be opened by the Spirit of God, that we may be able to walk in the truth that we know. You know, so often we know so much truth, but we don't walk in that truth. And it's a burden to me that sometimes I don't believe the very things that I know. Brethren, what we know in the Scriptures, we need to believe it and walk in it. And brethren, that's got to be applied with the oil of prayer. The truth that we know, it needs to be applied by the oil of prayer. Brethren, this is really where the rubber meets the road. I mean, I can know a lot of truth. I can be theologically correct in all of what I believe from the Scriptures. But if it's not applied to my heart, and listen, I need the Spirit of God to apply it to me. I need help. I need a power from outside of myself to help me with this truth. And so this is what Paul prays here, that they would know the love of Christ. And he actually comments here that they would know that which is not knowable. It's like beyond comprehension. But there's a way to know it, and it's by prayer. And that's the thing about prayer, is when we pray, you know, you can only go as far as to teach someone to pray. The next part is on you. You have to pray. You have to find yourself in your secret prayer closet like Hannah, pouring out her soul unto the Lord. You need to find yourself like Daniel, praying. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one passage where he continued all night in prayer. Brethren, do we pray? Do you have that consistent and continual and intimate relationship with your Father? Is there a case that you're continually bringing to him? I know that if you have unregenerate children, you should be bringing that case continually before him. Lord, you said that you'll save sinners. Christ died for the sins of the world. Oh God, save my sons, save my daughters. Save those in our neighborhoods, Lord. Those people that live right around our church gathering places, Lord. Lord, let your gospel go forth. Let it shine brightly in the hearts and souls of those around us. Save sinners, Lord. You promised to save sinners. You're the Savior of the world. You're the only Savior we've got, Father. Have you cried out in prayer for those things to happen? In verse 12 of chapter 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. We have boldness and access. Do you realize you have the access into the presence of the high and lofty one which inhabits eternity, whose name is holy? He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit. Do you realize you have access into the presence of the Creator, the eternal first being? I mean, do you realize that? We need to realize that. And listen, that's a worthy prayer for you. If you don't realize that, and that you'd repent and say, Lord, I need to realize that. Help me, Father. I want to be one that prays always. I want to be one that doesn't just get discouraged and faint. We have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Wherefore I desire, Paul said, that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. That's what God does. He's a king. He grants. He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's a worthy prayer for our people. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. You may be able to comprehend that which is incomprehensible. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Amen. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 32, right before that, the Lord asked Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me, Jeremiah? The second time he says, behold, I am the Lord of God of all flesh. Maybe I have those backwards, but I know he asked the question the first time, and then he says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too hard for me. Brethren, is that the God that we pray unto? I encourage you to pray. Verse 7 and 8, and shall not God avenge His own elect? Shall He not take up their case? Shall He not take up their cause, dear child of God, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Brethren, we are God's elect children, saved by His grace, adopted into the family of God. If this is who you are, how is it that you do not pray? But do we cry day and night unto Him? And I think we can define men ought always to pray as found in that statement. Do we continually come to His throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? This woman did not lose heart with a judge that could care less about her. How can we lose heart with a Father in heaven that loves us and promises to hear our cries? Listen, my failures in prayer are either because I have failed to pray or because I have not continued to pray. The failure is not with God. Spurgeon said this, are you an outer court Christian or are you an inner sanctuary Christian? Are you only hovering around in the outer court and you never enter in through the torn veil to access the intimate presence of God? Psalm 91. Look at Psalm 91. I love this psalm. The psalms are a treasure chest of the secret prayers of the saints, the secret cries, the real Christian life. You can see yourself in the psalms. You can see your own struggles and be encouraged by the prayers of the saints in the psalms. Psalm 91 And verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Do you dwell there? Do you go there often? "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust." And truly, if He is my refuge, I will run to Him. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Psalm 71 and verse 3 says, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." Whereunto I may continually resort. Child of God, you should have a spirit that is always inclined to pray. We should. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I should always be inclined to pray. You should make every effort to rise up each day to prayer. You should make every effort to not speak a word to anyone until you have first honored the Lord with your first words and the first thoughts of your day. We should honor the Lord in that way. Find your secret place. Find the place of where you would continually resort unto the Lord and make your daily case to the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, "And when thou prayest," implies that you pray. "And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." There should be a place by His throne of grace with your knee prints on it. There should be a little bottle next to His throne of grace with your tears in it. The Lord should have an expectation that you're there. If He is your Heavenly Father, how can it be that you're a son or a daughter and you never speak to Him? That's not the relationship of a child with their father. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing," means pray incessantly. Romans 12:12, "Continue instant," or "be constantly diligent in giving yourself in prayer." Ephesians 6:18, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance," "praying with all perseverance," "with persistence and supplication for all saints." 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." James 5:16, and I'll be done. James says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." If you're in Christ, that's you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has force with God. It availeth much. Shall not God do justice? Shall not God take up your case, child of God, if you're His child? Though He bear long with His own elect, yes, He shall. The Scripture teaches us that He will answer our prayers. But listen, don't get this idea in your head that God's going to answer by your timetable and answer your prayers the way you think they should be answered. Listen, the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him. And listen, the great comfort of our prayers is that God has heard me. 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He's heard my prayers." And so, brethren, Jesus spoke this parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should be a praying people. We should be very conversant, intimate. We should commune with our Heavenly Father often. I pray that you would find yourself there. I pray that you have a secret place that nobody else knows about and you resort there. That should really be your happy place. You should feel like you've gotten to your safe place when you get into the presence of your Heavenly Father, when you pour out your soul to Him, as Hannah did. And the Bible says when Hannah got up from her prayer, when she was in bitterness of soul, the Bible says her countenance was no more sad. She cast her burden upon the Lord. Let's dismiss, Brad. Father, I pray.